Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham, here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. We're also simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980, and always streaming live and free on the Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 105 as we take you around the DMV here on this Memorial Day weekend. A lot to get to. At 105 is when you'll be greeted by Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They'll have the series finale of Nats and Giants. That is set to tip off, kick off, first pitch set for 135. Pregame coverage is rolling right here on The Fan at 105. You want to talk about a group that seems like they are slowly but surely starting to turn a corner. Nats were 3-0 winners last night. James Wood with a two-run homer. Jake Irvin, brilliant. I think it's always cool, and it makes me feel good, I guess, when I get back-to-back elite performances from the two aces of this staff, talking about Mackenzie Gore and Jake Irvin. In the last 2 days, they have been really, really good. The Nats offense struggling a little bit, but James Wood continuing to keep things hot when it comes to the bat. We'll talk about the Washington Nationals in detail as he rolled throughout the show here this morning. It is Memorial Day weekend. I had to ask, a little top behind the glass, by the way, people. If you hear me, Top will be following. Good morning, Top.
Morning, Linnell.
How are you, brother?
I'm good.
So you're rocking the City Connect James Wood jersey?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that, something that pertains to the status of James Wood in this town. I was at a graduation party yesterday. Shout out Todd Leibowitz. Hosting is Todd Palooza.
Shout out to Todd. Todd Palooza. Anytime Palooza is after
something. Oh, man, that is a spectacle over there, yes, in Gaithersburg. Crazy, crazy party every single year. But I wore this jersey there yesterday. Everybody comes up to me, loves it. They're like, man, James Wood, amazing. I love him. He is a superstar. And that kind of shows the effect he is starting to have on people in this town. I mean, we're outside D.C. over there in Gaithersburg, but that's DMV territory out of Moco. I know you know it very well.
Right down the block from where he was born and raised.
Exactly. And that's the kind of status that we're seeing for James Wood right now. And only fitting that I get this jersey the day that he also homers, which pretty much won them the game yesterday. Yes. Wasn't much offense outside of that. But shout out Dalen Lyle for the game-winning catch.
Man, back-to-back big days for Dalen Lyle. He made his debut on Friday and gets on base. And then yesterday, with a big-time catch, keeping the Giants blanked. Good overall performance from the Curly W's. We'll talk about it in great detail as we roll throughout the hour. It is Memorial Day weekend, something that we'll do this morning, this afternoon. We'll also re-rack it tomorrow as I'm sitting in 2-6, sitting in for Grant and Danny. Memorial Day weekend always gets me thinking about the grill and some of the best items that there are to put on the grill. We'll do a little overrated, underrated. Most overrated grill foods, most underrated grill foods, most overrated things about summer, most underrated things about summer as we roll throughout the show here.
We're going to play a game today?
We're going to play a game.
Oh, wow. I'm so excited.
Playing games. We're going to put you to work.
I knew today was going to be fun. I had a feeling.
I'm about to say, I have a feeling as well that the Washington Commanders get ready to start work here soon. Voluntary work starts on Wednesday. It's the first time that the media will be able to see the entire 90-man roster together. It is voluntary, though. One thing that we will talk about a little bit later on is voluntary work not open to the media. Last week, there was a certain somebody that decided to skip out, talking about one Terry McLaurin. We'll talk about the ramifications and impact of that. Coming up top of the 12 o'clock hour, about noon Eastern time, we're joined by Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus. He put out his top 10 wide receivers for the 2025 season. You will be very interested to know where he has one Scarence Terrence, as I like to call him, talking about Scary Terry McLaurin. We'll get into the WNBA as well. I'm of the belief, and we'll play the audio a little bit later on, I am of the belief they're acting right now, and I'm here for it. I'm a WWE guy. That's really, if I'm being real, like, that is how I got into sports talk radio. That's how I got into sports media, was my love for play-by-play. And I think if you're an older person out there listening right now, you remember good old Jim Ross, right? Him and Jerry the King Lawler were the longtime announced duo for WWF, and Jim Ross, a very seasoned play-by-play guy, was the voice of the Oklahoma Sooners for years, did Atlanta Falcons stuff, and it was his play-by-play, his energy that got me going and wanting to be in this business. Obviously, I get to do play-by-play every now and then. I was the voice of Howard Football last year. I got a little top as a play-by-play savant as well. So everybody's got someone that influences them. I always shout out my grandmother, man. My grandma Frances got me into it. She was a huge wrestling mark back in the day, and I'll never forget. I think we were watching, it was like a pay-per-view on a Sunday night, and Stone Cold's doing the beer thing. I'm like 5-6 years old, by the way. My grandmother, she's a huge fan of, and my older folks out there will get this, my starter pack for my grandma was fried chicken, Milwaukee Best Ice, and pork rinds. So my grandma, one day we're watching wrestling, she knocks over her Milwaukee Best Ice, and I'm jumping all over the place here. There is a television show back in the day. I don't know, Top, if you're familiar with this because you're a little younger than I am. The Teletubbies were huge back in my day.
Yeah, of course.
Dipsy, Lala, Poe.
Oh, I don't even know the names. Yeah, I remember it.
That's how you know I was really locked into the Teletubbies. They had this thing called custard. And, like, the custard would spill, and there was this vacuum character, and he'd come slurp up the custard. So my grandma spills her Milwaukee Best Ice on the glass table, and 6-year-old Linnell thinks it's custard and starts slurping up beer off of the table at 6 years old. I haven't been the same since. I'm glad I'm able to tell that story now. CPS can't do anything about it. But it just, I say all that to say it's how I got into the sports media business, and I was going full circle here. I was talking about acting with the WNBA. It's almost like WWE with them. Yesterday, Brittany Griner postgame went off. It wasn't postgame, actually. It was like the intermission between the end of the third and the start of the fourth. And she's getting interviewed by the sideline reporter, and she is clearly upset about a foul. She's mid-interview, right? And the referees are walking in front of the bench because they're getting ready to converse and huddle up. She stops the interview. Poor reporter. Good thing she was a seasoned vet, because I don't know what the hell you do if you're wet behind the ears and you're interviewing BG, and she all of a sudden stops mid-interview and starts berating the officials. It was the craziest thing ever.
You just hit it with the back to you guys.
No, the great thing about, I think it was Ion is who was televising the game. They just let the mic stay hot and let her, I don't know if she, we'll play the audio a little bit later, but there was some swearing in there. She was pretty upset. There was also someone out there race baiting. And it's the worst.
Is that the bench clip?
Of her sitting on the bench talking.
I saw that.
Allegedly
one.
Talking about Caitlin Clark. Wasn't talking about Caitlin Clark at all. But we'll get into the WNBA a little bit later on as we roll throughout the show too. Speaking of the W, and this is really where our conversation will be shifted towards. I can't believe I'm saying this. It's been a little while. But how about those damn Washington Mystics? Mystics playing really good ball as well. They're rookies. Playing as well as anybody in the W. They lost in heartbreaking fashion on Friday night as they lost on a buzzer beater, 75-72 to the Las Vegas Aces. But the more important thing that you're seeing from this group is they probably have the co-rookies of the year at this point in Sonia Cintron and Kiki Eiferin. They're both playing really, really well. That's been super, super duper fun to watch. They were actually shorthanded the other night in this one as they were without the woman who to me has been really the big talking point for this year for the Washington Mystics and kind of the straw that stirs their drink. Brittany Sykes has been on one. She missed last game against Vegas and they still lost on a buzzer beater. Now think about it when we're talking about Vegas, right? They are... Outside of the Liberty, they're arguably one of the best teams in the W right now. And for the Mystics to compete the way that they did without their best player, the rookie stepping up, it was really awesome to see. We will talk about Mystics basketball and the WNBA a little bit later because our old pal Caitlin Clark in the Indiana Fever yesterday, really, really close to handing the New York Liberty their first loss of the season. Our old pal Natasha Cloud, former Mystic, former champion here with the Mystics, had an elite defensive effort at the end of regulation to stop Caitlin Clark from hitting a buzzer beater. I saw someone tweet it yesterday, and it geeked me out a little bit. They was like, man, Aaliyah Boston out there looking like prime Tim Duncan. Aaliyah Boston, South Carolina, Gamecock. This is year three for her, I believe. But there we go. Well, here we go. This is Liberty in fever yesterday. Liberty 3-0, point differential out of this world right now. And I think the bigger thing and the more interesting part of all of this is the fact that Indiana is actually good, right? We talked about it last week, I believe, the rivalry that exists between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, and if that rivalry is actually going to, you know, reach its potential, reach its ceiling, so to speak, right? Both of those teams would have to be better. More importantly, Angel Reese in the sky would have to be more competitive, because as you saw yesterday, I mean, Indiana can hoop, man. The run that they went on in that third quarter, 30-13 run, to really knot things up, and then in that fourth, you saw the Liberty kind of, you know, step up and take over. They have a super team out there in New York, by the way.
You know what I'm really mad about right now?
What's that?
So I pulled up Twitter, and that was the first thing that was up there, and I really just got by a parody account, because I didn't see the game last night, and I just see the SportsCenter logo.
Ah.
And it says Caitlin Clark for the win, fire emoji. And I was like, oh man, this is, I can't wait to see this. And then I realized the username is actually Brick Center.
Yeah,
and Brick it's her getting stripped.
Yeah, Brick Center is.
I just got by Brick Center.
That's tough. I've gotten got by Central or Central before.
Oh no,
NBA Central. You know about that page, right?
Well, OG for me is I don't even know if I can say it on the air. Something sports ball something sports.
Yes, yes.
I don't even know if I can say that, so
Onions
I won't.
Sports is what we'll call it. But yes, they are also.
They follow
me. They followed you.
I don't know why.
Attaboy. They must have got you so many times that they decided, you know what? Let's throw this young grasshopper a follow.
Yeah.
Those accounts out there are gnarly, is the best way that I can put it. For someone that, and I think it's different, right? That's why us being media members in this day and age, the way we consume our information, the way we get smarter, the way we research, we got to work harder. The resources are at our fingertips, but I think there's a lot more, what's the word I'm looking for?
Cap.
Vetting. Yes, cap. There's a lot of cap out there, and there's a lot more vetting that needs to take place before you lean into something. And
rage baiting.
Yeah, speaking of rage baiting, I was rage baiting the fan base on Friday, sitting in for Grant and Danny. We're not sitting in with Grant and Danny.
How did you rage bait this time?
It was on air and off air. I actually followed up the conversation with a guy, Craig Hoffman, on the Team 980, who you can catch Monday through Friday, 4 to 7. There is this convo, and we'll get into it in great detail later on, but I think there is a debate to be had about Terry McLaurin and his contract extension and where he actually ranks amongst the top wideouts in the National Football League. We briefly got into it yesterday. We'll hear from Trevor Sikkema as he'll join the program, top of the final hour of the show at about noon Eastern time. But what I realized is Terry is a polarizing subject amongst the fan base. Last year he was. I think after the numbers he put up this year with Jaden Daniels, career high 13 touchdowns, I think I wouldn't call him polarizing, but he is, and I know I'm going to get in trouble for this, he is the most overvalued member of the football team amongst the fans. You can't say nothing bad about Terry McLaurin. And honestly, as I'm sitting here, with a box of Crunch Time Flakes in front of me, Terry McLaurin cereal. Honestly, there's nothing bad that you can say about Terry McLaurin, so I wouldn't be searching to do that. But I think, regional sports, baseball is the most regional sport that exists, and I think that's a good example of, like, if you're a Nats fan, you're probably not paying attention to what's going on with the L.A. Dodgers. That's a bad example. You're probably not, you know, worried about the Minnesota Twins, because baseball is such a regional sport that you lock in on it for all 162, and baseball is one of those sports where you play pretty much every damn day. So you don't get the chance to pay attention to other people. That's how you all act with Terry McLaurin at the wide receiver position. You all act like he is God. And he is an elite wideout. He is one of the best in the National Football League. I wouldn't say he's a top five receiver. I wouldn't say he's a tier one wide receiver. We'll see where Trevor Sikkema has him tiered amongst the league's best wideouts coming up top of the 12 o'clock hour. Right here on the Fan on the Team 980. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, a lot more to get to. Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves routed the Oklahoma City Thunder last night. Remember, I told you before the end of the show to bet on that? You would have lost some money. We'll talk about that here in this opening hour of the show. When we come back, though, the young Nats rolling, and the youngins keep showing progress. James Wood a 2-run homer yesterday. Jake Irvin going Kanye crazy on the bump. We give you a full-scale Nats recap coming up next on The Fan. Just getting rolling here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. Tapped into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. We'll take you up to 105. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler will take you from there. Nats baseball on tap as they look to pick up their third consecutive series win as they look to take 2 out of 3 from the San Francisco Giants. It is a 1:35 first pitch. Pregame coverage just rolling right here on The Fan at 105. This group, talking about the Washington Nationals, man, excited about them all of a sudden, man. So, if they win this afternoon, it'd be 3 straight series taken, which is awesome. I know it's premature, but I can't help it. Still just 5 games back in the final wild card spot in the National League. But the more important thing with this group to me is it slowly but surely starting to feel like they have turned a corner. And I think that is a damn good feeling, especially when you consider why it feels like they're turning a corner. First and foremost, the bullpen, which was an absolute disaster to start the season. Here over the past 11, 12 days, they've been a hell of a lot better. But if I can be real and selfish here for a second, and Ben Strober, our producer in studio today, we can be selfish together. I am just uber geeked up that James Wood is playing the way that he is playing. I just am. I'm just geeked up at the way that he's playing. Ben Strober wearing a James Wood City Connect jersey in here this afternoon. He hit home run number 13 yesterday. And right now, as we sit here on May the 25th, he is in the top 5 in Major League Baseball in home runs on the year. In terms of RBIs, he's in the top 15. So just really hitting the ball really well right now. And it feels like we knew when he was called up last year what type of potential he had. He was lighting it up out of AAA. One of the most effortless swings you will ever see. For him to be as consistent as he's been to this point, I think it's special, man. It's special. And the thing that I love about it, which is why I said I'm going to be selfish here for a second, only Maryland stand the hell up. That's what I love about it. Hometown kid, bona fide star at the plate. Defensively, he's got some chops as well. It's just been really awesome to see. The one thing that we always kind of dampen the conversation with when it comes to James Wood is he's here for right now, but how long will he actually be here? I continue to say it every time I talk about him. The fact that he is from Olney, Maryland, the fact that he is Montgomery County DMV through and through, if there was any guy that was going to sign here long term, I would think it'd be James. I don't care who he's represented by. I don't care what has happened in the past. And let's not act like the Nats have just never signed Scott Boras guys before. Steven Strasburg was a Boras guy.
That's true.
So let's cross our fingers here when it comes to Woody.
James Wood is just the nonchalant guy that just hits baseballs for fun. It almost feels like if you had to look into his personality and what he does on a daily basis, he just wakes up in the area he grew up in. He's like, all right, I'm
going
to drive to the ballpark real quick.
Yeah.
Hit a homer, 117 miles an hour off the bat. I'm going to go home and go to bed and just do it again tomorrow.
It's just like become routine.
I almost can't even really imagine him going to play somewhere flashy like L.A., but
it's not him.
But they threw him $600 million, and it's...
Well, the learners better open up their pockets, is what I would
We'll
say.
See, we'll see.
Oh, my God, Travis Wigfall tweets at me and says, I guess Commanders fans feel the same way about Terry that you feel about B-Rob. That was a dig at me. Because I went off this past week about Brian Robinson. For good reason. Because you all just act like he's some YMCA gym teacher. But yesterday, the Washington Nationals picked up the victory over the San Francisco Giants by a score of 3-0. And when we now go out and take the pulse of this Washington Nationals baseball team, they are in what I like to call a very good spot on a little bit of a heater right now. 6 out of 7 and 7 out of 9 for the Washington Nationals. They have really played well. Jake Irving, 8 shutout innings, punching out 7. Dalen Lyle, 2nd consecutive game with a hit, had a diving catch that was awesome. Robert Hassel bats in his first run. It was awesome to watch. But I want to get to kind of what kicked things off for the Washington Nationals. First inning, first time at the plate, James Wood going yard to give the Nats the 2-0 lead.
Here's the pitch. Breaking ball, hit in the air to deep right field. Back comes Yastrzemski looking up. It is gone. Goodbye. A laser beam of a home run off the bat of James Wood. Cleared the 14-foot, 8-inch wall. Hit off the wall in the front of the stands of section 237. Bang! Zoom goes James Wood with his 13th home run of the year. A two-run shot. And it's the Nationals 2 and the Giants nothing.
James Wood banging it out of the park. That was, excuse me, almost is lost there. I got Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler on the call right here on the Washington Nationals radio network. I believe I got this from my guy Grant Paulson that came off the bat at 110 miles per hour yesterday.
Yep.
Just power, 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 power when it comes to James Wood. I think the more impressive thing with Woody is not necessarily the power, just how smooth and effortless it looks every time he's at the plate. And then when he goes and runs the base pads and, you know, baseball is the one sport where I go, aura farming is at an all-time high, is how I would describe it. I know JY and Woody talk about it all the time, them not wanting to get, you know, caught aura farming out there in the outfield. But anytime James Wood hits a homer and his, how tall is he? 6'6", 6'7"?
6'7".
Trotting across the bases, hat bobbling off the top of his head. He never really gives you a full smile. He's just the dude's dude, though, man.
I'm almost glad he cut his dreads because his helmet could not stay on last year. His helmet fell off every time.
He would literally run the bases like this with his hand on the top of his head. It was the craziest bit. But no, he has been a godsend for this organization. And if you're a casual fan out there of baseball, now is the time to really dig into this bunch. I'm telling you, we're all, you know, upset a little bit that they didn't spend money this winter, and it feels like if they would have, you know, added somebody to this bullpen, maybe added another high-quality starter and another bat, they'd be firmly in the wild card conversation. Philly's playing some of the best baseball in all of the majors, so it's tough to say that you would win the NL. But you would 100% be in that wild card conversation the way that you already are. But if you're a casual baseball fan, I'll go back to what I was about to say. If you're a casual baseball fan, this is the time to lean into this bunch. This is the time because all of the youngins are showing promise and progress. That's what this year is supposed to be about. They feel like internally, though, that they're ready to turn a corner and actually be a wild card team this year. But from James Wood to Dalen Lyle to Dylan Cruz to Robert Hassel, to K-Bear Ruiz, C.J. Abrams. I mean, you name it. They have got youngins out the wazoo that are playing really, really well, man. And James Wood is the guy that it feels like is getting all the attention. But to me, the best, most consistent bat on this team this year has been C.J. Abrams, man. Batting a tick under 300, looking to make his 2nd consecutive All-Star appearance this year. A big reason why the outlook of this team is so tremendous right now.
I think it's interesting you bring up, you know, how James Wood gets a ton of the attention, but he's not the flashy guy of this team. And almost to me, this is how I felt about it the entire time. When Dylan Cruz comes back and when,
yes.
I'm not even going to say if, I'm going to say when for Dylan Cruz, because I have full confidence that he is going to break through and become.
He was starting to hit it well, too.
Yeah, I think he'll break through and be the player that was drafted number 2 overall, won a Golden Spikes at LSU. He's the guy that strikes me as being the flashy franchise player that everybody associates Washington Nationals baseball with. I think Wood will just continue to do his thing in the nonchalant way that he always is, but that's a good thing.
For sure.
Because if you think about the Bryce Harper era in D.C., I mean, Bryce Harper is one of the flashiest players in the past generation. He was always, whether he's arguing with the umpires, flipping his bat, advocating to make baseball fun again.
That was wasn't it?
He's very out there. And Dylan Cruz could be that kind of player. Abrams could be that kind of player. Wood, probably not as much, but he's just going to be a star.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm glad you brought up C.J. Abrams. We'll talk about aura. That guy has got all of the
alien
aura.
Chain.
I'm about to say, man. Think about this, though. glad you brought up Cruz. Obviously, you can't cry over spilled milk. Imagine how much further along this group would be if we had Paul Skeens. Holy hell. Paul Skeens, Big Mac, Jake the Snake. Ugh.
It's insane that we're already seeing the trade proposals, though, for him out of Pittsburgh.
I know, but that's because...
It's Pittsburgh,
of all,
man.
The Yinzers are just the most ignorant, obnoxious fan base in all sports, whether it's the Sixer fans, whether it's the Pirate fans, Penguin fans, who am I, Eagle fans, they're terrible. We do not like Pennsylvania sports, is what I would say. But no, it is kind of wild, dude. Like, he's already at, what, 22? How old is he, 22, 23?
I think he's 22 or 23.
Already one of the top three pitchers right now in baseball, bro. Like, yeah. He has been absolutely nasty this year. We'll see what happens with the Nats and if they're able to make it, what would it be, 8 out of 11 if they're able to win this afternoon against the San Francisco Giants. I got to go look at the schedule. I would think it's is it Soroka getting the start this afternoon? I got to look. I'm pulling up the schedule right now, and it is.
Yep.
Our guy Soroka getting the start. This is only, what, his third or fourth start of the season?
Yeah,
he had the
come
injury.
Back from injury. Mm-hmm. Then you got a trip out west all of next week. So that's going to be really interesting. Out in Seattle for a three-game mm-hmm. set, and then in Arizona.
So what's interesting about that, right, is like, well, we saw the Diamondbacks to start the year here at Nats Park, but they're kind of falling back to earth right around 500 right now. I always pay attention to Seattle because Danny Ruiz actually said this on Friday, and it was kind of funny. It was either Grant or Danny said it. He called their park, T-Mobile Park, one of the best parks in all of the majors. Which is very interesting. But Seattle, another really good team, first in the AL West, playing good baseball. I said that this week would be huge for the Nats because of who they were going up against and where they were relative to the National League wild card race, Giants and Braves. You're right in the thick of it with them. And right now you look like the better of those two teams. So super duper exciting. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We're just getting rocking and rolling as we take you up to 105 Eastern time right here on The Fan as we lead you into Nats baseball. We'll get off the diamond for a second and take things to the hardwood. Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves heard all of the noise about them being down two games to none. And last night, can you say BTA? We'll break down game three of the Western Conference Finals next here on The Fan.
The 0-1 swung on, hit in the air to shallow right field. Dalen Lyle coming in, still coming, dives. He made the catch! He made the catch! A diving catch by Lyle! And a curly W's in the books! Dalen Lyle with a spectacular game-ending diving catch in his second game in the big leagues.
Charlie Slows on the call yesterday right here on the Washington Nationals Radio Network. Nats. Big 3-0 winners yesterday over the San Francisco Giants. James Wood with a 2-run homer in the first to get things cracked off. And then old Bobby Barrels, bottom of the 7th, RBI ground out, giving the Washington Nationals that 3-0 lead, and it was all she wrote from there. We mentioned this young Washington Nationals team and them, you know, potentially turning a corner here. Winners of 7 out of their last 9, 6 out of their last 7. Playing as good a baseball right now as we've seen them play all year in terms of, like, completeness. The pen's looking well. They're hitting the ball really well over the past couple of series. And then these young cats continue to show promise. We talked a lot about the performance of James Wood yesterday. Can I show some love? Can I show some love to Jake Irving? Jake Irving was awesome yesterday, man. When you think about his day, he lasted 8 innings, man. That's what I wanted to get to here. Jake Irvin lasting 8 innings. I got to look at his career box score. Has he ever gone 8 in his career?
Yeah, he has last year. He technically threw a complete game because they're playing the Mets. They won 1-0, and Jesse Winker homered in the bottom of the 8th inning, and they won in the 9th. So it wasn't a complete game, actually. But he went the 8, and then they won there.
Yeah, he was lights out yesterday. Just 3 hits given up over the course of of 8 innings, 7 punch outs, as we mentioned. Just awesome, man. We talked about it. Yeah, we talked about it, Ben, when we were right off the heels of spring training as we were talking about the start of this season. And one thing that you astutely, you know, brought up about, you know, Jake Irvin and Mackenzie Gore is last year they showed you, like, they're legit starters in the majors. I think at their best, they're a 2 and 3. I don't think either of them are, like, a number one, but I know Mackenzie Gore is probably thinking, what the hell else do I have to do, Linnell, for you to think that I am a number one ace in this league? Is he does he still lead all the majors right now in strikes? So that's tough. But here's the thing. If those two, because they were great last year at times, the consistency with them is really what's been the Achilles heel. And over the course of a 162-game season, you were going to have, you know, bad starts here, bad starts there. Jake Irvin yesterday moving to 4-1 after going 8 innings.
And the big crowd beginning the rhythmic applause. Irvin's coming set now. Yastrzemski leads from first. Ramos digs in the pitch, breaking ball. Swing and a miss. He struck him out with a curveball. Jake Irvin with strikeout number 7 matches his career high. 8 scoreless innings over the San Francisco Giants. A standing ovation here for the crowd of just under 37,000.
I'm about to say, you all were out in droves yesterday, weren't you? Going out to see the old Curly W's. Did Charlie Slows just say there were 37,000 in attendance yesterday? Hot damn. That's awesome to see. As the Nats, as I mentioned, 3-0 winners over San Francisco. They're back on the diamond this afternoon trying to sweep the old San Francisco Giants. It is a 1:35 first pitch. Pregame coverage gets rolling right here on the Fan. We mentioned Jake Irvin, one of the heroes of yesterday, going 8 innings, giving up just 3 hits. Here is Jake the Snake postgame reflecting on the big time night.
I think it just gives you a little more confidence to stay in attack mode, you know, whether it's a swing and miss or a quick out and weak contact, you know, that's what we're hunting for. So keeping guys off balance, staying in the zone and just making guys earn it.
The velocity was up a little bit today. Did something feel different coming into the game, or did you find that as the game going on?
I tied my shoes a little tighter. Now the reality is we had 7 days off, you know, that helps. So the arm felt really good.
What do you notice about how you're feeling when you are pitching so efficiently and getting through the innings so quickly?
The big thing is getting in, like, I mean, you're out there for 5 seconds, you know, it doesn't feel like you're out there for a long time, and then you get to go sit down for a bit and catch your breath again. Getting a few of those in a row then especially really feels like those time in between innings, no matter how long it is a long enough time to just catch your breath, regroup, and go back out there. So shout out to the defense, man. Rosie made an awesome play at third base. Dalen to end the game there. I mean, cool way to start the big league career off. That's awesome. Defense played great all night.
That was the other thing about last night, really what aided him to be able to go 8. Some of these innings are 4 pitches. Like, you know, so the efficiency was really good from him. The command was there. The power's there. The command was there. So it was actually interesting, right? Coming off of his last start, you know, there were some conversations about, you know, was there early fatigue for him, and, you know, the miles per hour number was down a little bit, and he mentioned it, 7 days rest. It's a good, you know, Giants lineup that you went up against, and it was all gas, no breaks, man, from Jake Irvin. Super duper excited for him and what he can provide the rest of the way here for the Washington Nationals. Consistency, though, I continue to say it, the number one thing for Jake Irvin and Mackenzie Gore, back-to-back elite performances from both of the aces of this Washington Nationals staff. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll be a good radio show. We'll pay off the tees. Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves routing Oklahoma City last night. There's one number from last night's game that suggests this series is already over. That is next. You're on the Fan. +1 800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL underscore BTP. Tapped into the Youngest and Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 105. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler bringing Nats baseball at that time. Curly W is looking to make it three straight series wins as they look to take two out of three from the San Francisco Giants. Michael Soroka on the bump for DC, and you can hear all the action right here on The Fan. Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, we will take a look at the Eastern Conference Finals, Pacers and Knicks. That series moving to Indianapolis. What does the YIC have to say about that? And should a certain somebody be allowed back in the building for game number three? We'll touch about, touch on that coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. Right now, though, want to take a trip to Target Center, home of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Last night, the T-Wolves, from the outset of this one, just dominating the Oklahoma City Thunder. The 68 win Oklahoma City Thunder, the Oklahoma City Thunder that was up 2-0 going into this game number three, that OKC team that everybody has crowned the finals champion at this point. They got busted last night. Minnesota, a 143-101 victory. And right from the outset of this thing, 34-14 coming out of the opening quarter. Defensively, I thought Minnesota and the way that they locked in was absolutely awesome. The other thing that got me as well was maybe an X factor in this series moving forward. Our guy, or my guy, Terrence Shannon Jr., formerly of the University of Illinois, just a flat-out bucket getter. He was able to come in last night and provide some big minutes for OKC. And the one thing I would say, the one thing I would say about last night is I didn't think at this point in the postseason, I didn't think we would get a dud performance like this from Oklahoma City. So in that first half, OKC missed some clean looks that I expect them to make, right? But they were sloppy. They were disorganized. It's honestly stunning to see them look that way offensively because of how efficient and elite that they have been all season long. But I said it going into yesterday's game. For Minnesota, you're saving grace, and the reason you felt good, if there's any reason that you felt good being down 2-0, is you hadn't had a complete performance yet, right? You hadn't had these three things all happen. Ant Edwards play great, Julius Randle play well, and then the bench give you something. It's been one or the other of the first 2 games of this series. You've had 2 out of 3 things. You've had 1 out of 3 things. Last night, you got it all. Anthony Edwards, going Kanye crazy, as I like to call it. 12 of 17, 5 of 8 from downtown, 30 points, 6 helpers, 9 rebounds, 2 steals as well. Julius Randle was really good, 9 of 15, 2 of 5, and 24 points. Then the bench, right? Nikhil Alexander-Walker comes in, gives you good minutes. Dante DiVincenzo gives you good minutes. Naz Reid gives you good minutes. So, got to feel good about yourself if you are the Minnesota Timberwolves. Here's the thing, though. I said it yesterday on the air, and I'm going to go check it again right now just to make sure I'm not lying to the people. Futures bets in the NBA are always fun, especially when the playoffs start and then there's a juggernaut team that kind of comes out of nowhere and people are like, oh, wait, do they really, really have a shot to win the title? It feels like, despite last night's loss, everyone feels like OKC is going to win the finals. Like, right now, I'm going to go look at it. The futures bets on who will win the finals. The top odds right now to win the finals are OKC. They're minus 280. Meaning, I think I said it yesterday, you put $500 on OKC to win the finals, you wouldn't even get 200 bones back. So, look, they're the odds on favorite right now to win the whole thing. But after last night, I think maybe you should be sprinkling a little bit of cash on somebody else. These numbers that I'm about to read you are from our guy Nate Duncan, who covers the NBA, and he had this to say. That's either a wrap on the Thunder or they'll make history. The 42-point loss last night for OKC. No championship team in the history of the association has ever lost a playoff game by 40-plus points. So when you take that into consideration, do you all of a sudden become weary of OKC? I just think last night was an anomaly. I mean, OKC looked bad. I don't think they'll look bad like this throughout the rest of the playoffs. I just don't, right? SGA, 4 for 13. Didn't really get anything done. Jay Will off the bench, 0 for 6, right? Jalen Williams, 3 for 9. And this thing was over before it got started, man. You're down 20 entering the second quarter. You're down 30 at the half. Like, it was rough. It's rough to watch last night for Oklahoma City. But to the credit of the Minnesota Timberwolves, they're here. They showed that they belong. Anthony Edwards, this was a huge bounce-back performance for him. It felt like, and I said it coming off of the game number two, I think if you were to ask the casual basketball fan out there who's the better player between SGA and Anthony Edwards, they would say Anthony Edwards. He's the guy that's kind of been pushed as the new star, the next star, rather, in the association. I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is not only better, but maybe a more marketable dude when you consider some of the off-the-court stuff with Anthony Edwards and the baby mama drama. Good foresight shown by Anthony Edwards. I don't know if you knew this, Top. Anthony Edwards paid off his child support for his newborn up front.
Yeah, wasn't that controversial for some reason, or a lot of people were talking about that at one point?
Well, it screams, I have no intention of being in the kid's life, is what I thought. Or
yeah.
Or you're just an NBA star and your money's long like that. You can
How much
it.
Money was it?
You got to think if it's, I think it was something like $30,000 a month for 18 years, something like that. It's wow. it's a good piece of change is how I would put it. But I always wonder, like, as we're having this face of the NBA conversation, all of the American stars that are up for it have some sort of baggage attached to them outside of Jason Tatum. And Jason Tatum, I think most people feel like, doesn't have the personality or the spunk or pizzazz to be that face of the NBA. You think about the three guys. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
People think Jason Tatum is too unnatural. You know, the whole clip farming thing after winning the finals, I think that kind of turned people off a little bit. I mean, I'm not trying to say.
He probably is the most authentic guy in the one of the most authentic guys in the NBA, I would think. His dad's a former coach. His mom
He's authentic, but I think there have been times, like winning last year, where he tries to be somebody in his personality that he's not.
So that's hard to speak to because I guess we don't get to.
I don't know him, I guess.
Right. So it's hard to speak to, but I get your bigger point. It's kind of what the narrative is. And I played at Division III Bethany College back in the day, and we were terrible. But one thing that our terrible-ass coach Bill Garvey said that actually made sense and resonated.
Trashing the coach on the air?
I mean, I do it all the time. He stinks. He's god-awful. The worst football coach.
Is he still there?
No. Hell, almost cursed and said, F no. Hell no, he's not there. He shouldn't be. I mean, literally stealing money. But one thing that idiot Bill Garvey said was perception is 99% reality. And the perception of Jason Tatum, no matter if it's correct or not, it ultimately is the reality of who Jason Tatum is. So when I think of the three American stars that the league recently tried to push as being the top dog, they all have baggage, right? Ja Morant. The kids love Ja Morant. You think about him grinning all over the place and his daughter. It's a parade inside my city, yeah.
At Maryland commencement, there were people hitting the grenade celebration when they got put up on the video board.
So there's that, right?
Yep.
So people love Ja. Ja's an interesting young cat. I think the people around him just need to be better that are in his ear. But like Ja Morant, they tried to push as the face of the league. His shoe did so well in stores. Kids love him. He hits the gritty. He's got a dance to go with him. He's just awesome. But obviously, he can't stop waving and playing with guns. He had the grenade issue. So he kind of got pushed to the back burner. Zion Williamson, despite him, you know, not playing a lot, right? Like, the league tried to push him as the face of the NBA because it's exciting, it's flashy, it's dunks, it's alley-oops, it's all of that. He's got some of the worst, I don't even want to call it baby mama drama. He just has done a terrible job of finding good, responsible, significant others. He was with that OnlyFans star, Mariah Mills, and she was allegedly stalking him and posting messages online. And his public life got too messy, and it felt like, okay, Zion's probably not that face of the league either. And then Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards is a great dude, fun, outgoing. Everyone loves his competitive nature. The skill set's there, but he doesn't take care of his kids. He's got a bunch of them, too, already at just, what, 23, 24 years of age. 1-800-636-1067. First hour in the books. We sprinted through the opening hour of the show. When we come back, though, more NBA talk. Pacers and Knicks game number 3 comes your way this evening time at about 8 p.m. Eastern time. Game number three of that series. Pacers up 2-0 as this series moves to Indianapolis. What type of chance do I give the Knicks at winning tonight? I'll tell you next on The Fan.